to give you instructions on how to live life full of his blessings. Amen. And if you do as he says, as you just say, Lord, I'm not going to question you. I'm going to just do what you tell me. You're going to see how the blessings of heaven will flow so deep and strong in your life. Amen. So we're going to go ahead. Let's start off with the word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, knowing that our hearts are so fully surrendered to you. And I pray, Lord, that you truly have your way, knowing that as we listen for your voice, Father, we know you're going to speak life into us. And if we feel like we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we feel like somehow our walk with you has somehow kind of been drained or kind of been pulled back, Father, I pray, Lord, that your words will speak life into us this very day. And Father, I pray that truly as your Holy Spirit speaks your goodness into us, we're going to get so excited about what you have called us to do. Father, we give it all to you now. May your name be magnified. May your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, today we are on part 12 of the sermon series called what? Extremely Dangerous Prayers. We've been doing this for 12 weeks, right? Praise God. And so the title of the message is The Painful Prayer of Jabez. You guys heard of Jabez, I'm sure, right? And you know, right? It was a best-selling book in the 1990s, right? And it was called The Prayer of Jabez. It was written by a man named Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. You guys heard of that book before? We did a study on it, actually, I think it was sometime last year. But it is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and the chapter starts off by giving a long, exhaustive list of genealogies. You guys know what genealogies are, right? And tells about who's the son, who's the father, and all that, right? And then when it comes to verse 9, it seems like it just stops, right? And it brings our attention to a man named Jabez. And guess what? Even the prayer is recited right there on verse 9. So we're going to go to it right now. It's in your notes in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 to 10. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not what? Cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. You know, first of all, you read this, right? You have to wonder why Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. You know, with the limited information that we have about him, because this is the only place that he's mentioned, right? We can only guess that it was because he was a great man of prayer. Well, why would I say this? Well, think about it. He prayed a prayer that really got God's attention. So much so that, you know, verse 9, his whole prayer is put there, right? And one can only imagine the torment and ridicule, right, that this man had to go through in life, in which all his friends and family knew him simply as being pain. How would you like to be called pain? I mean, that's what his name meant, right? Because his mother bore him in what? Pain, right? Imagine his peers calling him a pain in their neck, or even worse, a pain in their, you know what I'm talking about, right? On their backside, right? But yet, even with all probably the heartache and anguish and pain, right, that he had gone through in his life, he still believed in God, right? And asked God to look upon him. And he said this prayer unto God. And he must have said it with so much humility and desperation and, yes, and even pain, right? It touched the very heart of God. So much so that, what does the Bible say? God granted what he requested. So here it is. It says, so with this painful prayer of Jabez, because it does sound painful in some ways, right? We have four main points that will make this prayer extremely dangerous. And if you pray this prayer, because I pray this prayer, and I believe when we pray this kind of prayer, you pray from your heart, I got to tell you, God will listen, because it just humbles you, you know? Well, look at number one. The first part is what? Oh, that you would what? Bless me. And, you know, First of all, let's discuss what a blessing is. How would you define a blessing? Well, it is a specific gift from God, right? For a specific time and a specific purpose to bring increase into a person's life. That's what a blessing is, right? Because when you ask God to bless you, he sometimes will give you a specific blessing that you know it is from the very hand of God. We got to understand that God, first of all, he finds pleasure in blessing his children. Who are his children? We are, right? And it is his nature to pour out his blessings upon those that he really loves. I want you to look at this scripture in Genesis 12, 1-3, and you can see this. So let's read this together. Genesis 12, ready? Go. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Does this sound like God? The very fact that he loves to bless. Oh yeah, there's no doubt. He is one that loves to bless his children. And when God chooses to bless someone, he lays it upon them with great abundance. Not just a little bit, right? Just like, it's so full of his wonderful blessings, right? The person in some ways are, you know, is overwhelmed with his goodness. You want to be overwhelmed with the goodness of God? Man, can you just imagine just the blessing just continually flowing in every area of your life? You know, there's this devout Christian. His name is R.C. Chapman. And he was asked how he was feeling one day, right? This person just said, how are you doing? And he says, I'm burdened this morning. That's what his reply was, right? But if you look at his face, he had a big, huge, happy, smiley face on, right? And it seemed to contradict his words because he says, I'm burdened this morning, right? So the questioner exclaimed in surprise, are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman? And he responded, yes, but it is a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude. Can you imagine having this kind of burden? Just being so abundantly, overly abundantly blessed. So much so, you can't find enough time or words to express your gratitude. Well, seeing the puzzled look on the face of his friend, Chapman added with a smile, I'm referring to Psalm 68:19, which fully describes my condition. In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that he daily loads us with his benefits. Daily loads us. I want you to look at that scripture right there, Psalm 68:19. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Blessed be the Lord who what? Daily loads us with his benefits, the God of our salvation. How often does he bless us? Daily, every single day of your life. He wants you to be blessed. God pours his blessing. His hand just comes and says, I want to give you more, right? That's what God's desire is. And when we realize that God truly blesses us daily, right, with his goodness, guess what? It seems like we don't have to ask him for very much because it keeps on coming. Just imagine the very fact that you don't have to keep on asking him because you're so overwhelmed with God's goodness in your life. It just keeps flowing. It just keeps coming. I mean, I'm sure as Christians, we want that from our Father God, don't we? That we can come to a point we don't really have to ask because it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. And that's what God wants for us. But here's the thing. When we do feel like we do need something from him, we can what? Ask of him. And he'll be happy to what? Provide, right? Because that's what he does. That's in his heart. That is his nature, just to provide, to give us more of his goodness. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. Read that with me. Ready? Go. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You know, it's so simple. We just ask. And it's always going to be good. Because when he sees that you're asking him, it shows that you're depending on him. Because sometimes people say, I don't want to ask too much from God. I don't bother him all the time. I said, no. When you ask him, God loves it. You know why? Because he sees you as a child who's just depending on him to provide. And this is what God looks for in our hearts. And we also see that when Jabez asked God to bless him, he asserts it with what? Bless me indeed. You know what that indeed means? It basically means with great certainty, right? Indeed, bless me with great certainty. And bless me not just a little bit, but what? A whole lot. Give me nothing but your very best. And you know, when you kind of read that, you know, Jabez saying, bless me indeed, right? You almost feel like this kind of prayer, maybe, at least you kind of feel like maybe it's kind of selfish, you know? You're like almost like even a little bratty. Oh, bless me indeed, right? But here's the thing. When you ask God to bless you, it's always important to do an attitude check, okay? Because when you ask of God, your attitude, you know, if it's really like that of a young spoiled child saying to his parent, give me, I want this. Don't give this to me, I will scream. You ever seen a child do that? I've seen children do, oh man, it's like, whoa, right? And they say, I'm gonna throw a tantrum. I've seen, you know, kids telling a parent, I'm gonna throw a tantrum right now. I'm gonna embarrass you if you don't give me what I asked for. Or, you know, they can say, you owe me this, right? You have to give this to me. I have to get this, right? And I deserve this. You know, when children ask like that, you kind of like almost cringe. You go, wow. And you see, sometimes the parents, they will give in because they don't want to make a scene, right? But, or is it like a sweet, precious child, you know, saying to God, Father, if it is your will, Lord, can I please have this? You know, and we call that the magic word, right? We tell kids, okay, what's the magic word, right? Oh, please. And then what? The parents say, okay, now, you know, I'll give this to you, Charlie, you know. But that's the thing, right? We know when we go to God and demanding it, because I've seen people say, Lord, you have to give me this. But the Lord doesn't have to do anything. But you got to understand, the Lord always has his best in mind for you. And sometimes we don't get what we want. We don't complain. We don't grumble. We say, thank you, Lord. I know you have your best in mind for me, and I'm going to wait for it. This is the kind of attitude we all must have, because if we don't, I'm going to tell you, don't expect God's going to give you anything. Because if he does, your heart will only get more brattier, right? Your heart will get to the point where it's like, I say this, God, you got to follow me. You got to do as I say. And God does not like that. And we know when we humble ourselves, God says, okay, I can see my child with the humility he has. I'm going to bless him. And I want you to look what it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Read that with me. Ready? Go. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, right? And that he rewards those who what? Earnestly seek him, or sincerely seek him. He will reward you with his blessing when he sees that you ask with a genuine heart that loves him first above anything else, right? Because he has to know that, right? Because you may say, I want this more than anything, even more than you, right? Just imagine, I'll just think about this. Imagine a child who says this to his parent, if you really love me, you're willing to die to get this toy for me. I don't care. Whatever you do, you have to get this for me. You love me that much, you have to be even willing to die for it. Wow. And as much as this sounds unbelievable, right? He said, no way. No kid would say that. No, I saw it on Dr. Phil on YouTube. I'm telling you, it's crazy. This child is telling the parent, you don't get this for me, you don't love me. And you don't love me, I'm not going to do anything. What you tell me, I'm not going to listen to you because you don't love me. And you can imagine there are children actually like that, right? And just think about this. When we have this kind of attitude towards God, Hey, don't expect that God will bless you. He loves you, but you're not going to get the blessings that you want. You know, that He wants you to be blessed in every way, but with this kind of stinky attitude, absolutely not. And we need an attitude adjustment. We go to Him humbly. We say, please, Lord. Because when I ask God for something, I say, please, Lord, I know You know what's best. I'm just going to wait for You. You know, go with that kind of heart, that kind of attitude. And so that when you do that, you can say, Lord, bless me. And when you say it, it's with the right heart. It's with the right attitude. And I'm going to tell you, God, He will come through. Because remember, when you ask of God to bless you, He zeroes in into your heart. And He looks at what kind of attitude you have. Amen? I want you to look here at the next scripture here. Where are we? Okay, number two. Okay, the second part is what? Enlarge my territory, okay? And when you ask God for this, right, you're really telling Him, you know what? I'm no longer going to limit you. Because you know what? When we ask God to expand our territory, to enlarge it, right? You got to say, Lord, whatever You're going to do, whatever You ask of me, I'm going to do it. You can no longer say, oh, but Lord, I don't know if I can do that. Lord, oh man, really? What You asking me? No. When you ask God to enlarge your territory, He says, God, go for it. Do whatever You want to do. I'm going to do as You say. This is what is required if you ask Him to enlarge your territory. And that means whatever He's called you to do in your life, right, you will trust Him and you will know that He is the one that's going to bring it forth in your life as you simply obey what He's told you to do. You got to remember something here. It is us who limits the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yeah, we're the ones who's limiting what the Holy Spirit can do. Because sometimes don't we give 1,001 excuses? But, Lord, I can't, right? And, but, Lord, I just don't have the time. But, Lord, and you kind of wonder why you're not growing in your faith. Because the Holy Spirit is going to speak into you. And you got to do it. You got to say, Lord, I will do whatever You ask, whatever it is. Even maybe He's telling you, go talk with your neighbor. He really needs someone to really love upon him right now. Are you willing to do it, right? Because here's the thing. The Hebrew word for enlarge, right, because He says to enlarge my territory, right, it also means to bring in abundance, to increase, to bring up, to multiply, to make greater, to extend the dimensions, right? And the Hebrew word for territory also means the border or space or coast, bounds, the limits, right? So you enlarge my territory. You're saying, God, just make it spread. Make it as wide as You want, right? And you know, the descendants of Joseph, we find in Joshua 17, right? They desired an enlarged territory. They weren't happy with just what the land that they had. I want you to look with me in Joshua 17, 14 to 18. And once again, can you read it with me? Okay, so you really get the heart of what God is trying to show to us. Ready? Go. The descendants of Joseph came to Joshua and asked, why have You given us only one portion of land as our homeland when the Lord has blessed us with so many people? And Joshua replied, if there are so many of you, and if the hill country of Ephraim is not large enough for you, clear out land for yourselves in the forest where the Perizzites and the Rephaites live. The descendants of Joseph responded, it is true that the hill country is not large enough for us, but all the Canaanites in the lowlands have iron chariots, both those in Bashan and its surrounding settlements and those in the valley of Jezreel. They are too strong for us. Then Joshua said to the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the descendants of Joseph, since you are so large and strong, you will be given more than one portion. The forest of the hill country will be yours as well. Clear as much of the land as you wish and take possession of its farthest corners, and you will drive out the Canaanites from the valleys too, even though they are strong and they have iron chariots. Okay, you read this, right? You realize the truth of the matter is that sometimes we want the greater blessings of God in our lives. We want to say, Lord, just pour it on me, right? Just bless me, right? You know, sometimes we think, okay, now that I asked for this blessing, God, he's got to give it to me on a golden platter and place it right on my lap. And what does God say? He says, you know what? All this land actually is for you. But you know what? You got to go for it. We can't sometimes think, okay, well, God just got to give it to me. Just hand it to me, right? But if you think that God will do that every time, I mean, come on now. You're never going to grow in your faith because it's always going to be handed to you. God says, go out there. He says, clear as much the land as you wish and take possession of its farthest corners. Go over it. And God says, I will be the one that will help you, right? And it says, as you drive out the Canaanites from the valleys, you know, they will go because, yeah, they're strong. They have iron chariots, but so what? You got me. That is the kind of attitude we got to go with, you know, because we can't always say, God, bless me, okay, pour it on me, right? But God says, no, I've given you special gifts. I've given you special abilities. Are you going to go for it with the strength I give you, with the abilities that it is in you because I put it there? You know, God wants us to take what he's given us and go with that. Don't expect that God got to make it all nice and pretty for you and say, okay, yeah. No, God says, go for it as I will go with you. You're going to see miracles take place. You're going to see my power being displayed in your life as you move with what I've given to you. Because, you know, God may be saying, I got it for you right here. It's right here and it's a lot. But you must be willing to get out of your comfort zone, right? You must be willing to make as many sacrifices necessary in order to attain it, right? And we don't like to get out of our comfort zone, do we? Oh, too uncomfortable, right? I don't want to do that. I'm going to stress myself out. But we know when we don't have this willingness to get out of our comfort zone, we stay exactly where we're going to be. And so we're longing to get beyond that, right? But we never get anywhere because we're not willing to get out of our comfort zones. And God says, it's about time. You did. Trust in me because I will help you to get there. And when you ask God to enlarge your territory, don't worry about what you may be lacking or what you may be deficient in. Because if you just look at your own natural abilities, you'll never experience the supernatural. Supernatural is in the realm of God. Amen. You want to stay with your own natural abilities? Okay, what you see is what you get. That's what it is. But when you go beyond that with the supernatural, you're saying, Lord, I trust you. You're going to do it in me. God will do it. And suddenly you're going to see yourself doing things you never thought you'd be doing in a million years, right? And I got to tell you, I've seen in my life, you know, I still kind of wonder, how in the world am I standing up here right now? I mean, the very fact I hate public speaking, and I thought I'd never, ever do that because I'm totally incapable. But I had to say, God, if you're going to do it through me, I'm just going to trust in you. And God, when he takes over, wow, suddenly your life is going to change. Suddenly you realize, man, it's not you anymore. You're never alone anymore. Whatever you do, God is helping you. God is seeing you through it because he knows that your heart belongs to him. I want you to look what Paul says in Philippians 4:13. Read it with me. Ready? Go. And this same God who takes care of me will supply what? All your needs from his what? Glory's riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So, Paul says he will supply some of your needs, right? All of your needs, every single need that you have, it is provided for by God. From what? His glorious riches? Do you think it ever ends, what he has? Oh, man. It's unlimited in what he can give you. So it's from his glorious riches, not from your glorious riches, because we're totally limited, aren't we? But with God, he's unlimited. So he will constantly just put it upon you. Every time you use whatever talent, whatever he's given you, you give it out. Guess what? He keeps on adding. Keeps on adding. His glorious riches never run out. And what does it say? Which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So In other words, the fact that you believe in Jesus Christ, guess what? These riches are for you and for me because you put your faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Without this, no, you're not going to have these glorious riches. Come on. It's only through Jesus Christ that you have these glorious riches. And the writer of Hebrews, this is what he says in Hebrews 10, verses 35 to 36. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be what? Richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he had promised. Don't throw away your confidence. Because the confidence that you have, is that important? Well, yes, we got to have confidence in ourselves to attain our goals. But what is even of greater importance is your confidence in God, right? Because you can say, yeah, I can do it. You can psych yourself up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. But you know what? If you just believe in yourself, you only can go for so far, you know? But when you say, Lord, I believe in you. I have confidence in you. You're going to do it through me. And it's going to be awesome. Right? You're going to see, oh, you're going to be stretched beyond what you could ever imagine. Suddenly, it's just not what you thought would come. It's above and beyond that. Because God is displaying himself in you. Because you're giving him the glory. You're showing to people it's not you that's doing it. It is the living God inside of us that is bringing forth the goodness that he desires in our lives. Amen? And that's why, you know, you just got to set your eyes upon him and just say, Lord, I know I'm a little scared. Just tell him. It's okay. Because I did it. The first time I had to speak in front of, you know, people, you know, I was like, oh, I'm scared, Lord. I don't know. I cannot. And the Lord just says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you, Ben. Come on. I'm with you. I just like, keep hearing his voice. I knew he was telling me, okay, I'm going to speak through you. Don't worry. I got it. I'm gonna let my power just come through you. And, you know, over the years, I just learned to have more confidence, not so much in myself, not in my flesh, no, but in the power of our Father God. Amen? I want you to get point number three. It says that your what? Your hand would be with me. And, you know, when God's hand is upon someone's life, it's going to be quite evident, right? When you know this person really loves God and he's doing whatever God asks of him, and you know his hand is just moving him, just kind of like showing him where to go, what to do, you know it is so evident that God is in this person's life. They will see, right, how your life is held together by so much love, so much peace, so much joy. You know, even through the difficult times, it seems like they're moving powerfully where God wants them to go, you know, where God wants them to be. And the very fact, because they're living a life that is devoted to God. That is so important. Your life must be devoted to him. It must be that you put him first above everything else. Amen? And when you do this, God's hand is not going to be taken off of you because you're setting your heart, your mind, your power, all that you have, your whole strength is dependent upon God. Amen? And it is his very hand that will prevent your life from falling apart. Because there are times, right, it seems like our life is falling apart. Things aren't going our way. But when the hand of God got a tight grip around you, he's telling you, I'm here, child. He's comforting you. He's showing you, I'm never going to leave you. Don't worry. I got this, child. And you know the Hebrew word for hand that's used here, right? It is one for an open hand, okay? Not a closed hand, because, yeah, closed hand, we punch someone out. No, the word hand here is an open hand, right? And it's comforting to know that with an open hand, you know what? God's hand will take our hand, because you got to open your hand to take someone's hand, right? God opens his hand and says, okay, child, I know you're feeling lost. I know you're feeling stressed. Let me show you what to do. Come on, child. Let me show you what you need to do right now. You got to believe that God does this. He gives an open hand to you. He always extends an open hand to you. But you got to be willing to take his hand. Amen? You got to say, Lord, not my way, but your way. And that's when you're going to see how things will start to fall into place in your life, is when you take the very hand of God. And, you know, when we're feeling down and a little discouraged, he's right there. His hand just comforting us, right? You can just feel it. He's just maybe patting you on the back. It's okay. it's okay, I'm here. I'm here. Just like a good father does, right? He says, child, I'm here. He comforts us. I want you to look at Psalm 37, 23 to 25. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. And the psalmist understands this, right? He knows that because God never leaves his children, you know, the provision is always going to be there. That's why he says, yeah, I never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. It's because God never leaves. Amen? God's presence is always there. God's always giving you what you need. I want you to look at Isaiah 41, 10 and 13. Read it with me. Ready? Go. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with what? My righteous hand. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. And I got to tell you, in those times when I know for myself, when I just had fear of the unknown, you know, I just kind of wonder, well, what's going to happen, you know? I long for the very hand of God to take my hand, you know, and I want to listen for his voice telling me, don't fear, Ben. I'm going to help you. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to whisper to you. When you just kind of just stand still just for a moment and say to the Lord, I need you. I long for you. Just experience his touch. He will take a hold of your hand and say, do not fear, I will help you. Those are the very words I long for. I need to hear these words from my God because it gives me great peace when he tells me, don't be afraid, trust in me. And we all need to do that, don't we? I know I need to do that more because sometimes, yeah, I still kind of freak out. And sometimes people go, you Pastor Ben? I say, yeah, that's me. I'm included in this. And we just need to hear his voice. Just telling me, okay, slow down. I'm here. I'm here. And with this very same hand, you know what else God will do? He will protect you and rescue you from danger and from harm. I want you to look at Deuteronomy 26, 7 to 8. Just read this with me. Ready? Go. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, our toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with what? A mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. Okay, this great terror is not for us. It's going to be for your enemies, right? For people who are giving you difficulty. He's going to show himself in ways that will allow you to experience more of him. But the people who are giving you such a hard time, you're going to see how God is going to help you. He's going to either, you know, get them farther away or whatever he's going to do, right? So that you're not going to be in this constant state of distress. But ultimately, you got to understand, with his hand being ever so present in our lives, you know, he shows us the primary reason why he does all these things for us. Why he chooses to bless us. Why he chooses to keep his hand upon our lives. What do you think it is? Well, the Bible says God is what? Love, right? I want you to look at Psalm 136, 11 through 12. Read that with me. Ready? Go. He brought Israel out of Egypt. His faithful love endures how long? Forever, right? He acted with a strong hand and powerful arm. His faithful love endures forever. And you know, as he gives an outstretched arm and an extended hand towards you, you know he's showing his love. His love that will endure forever. His love is not going anywhere. As he stretches out his arm to you, he's showing to you, I love you, child. That's why I'm here. Take my hand, child. And he's waiting. Don't keep on trying to do things your way. Because, you know, sometimes we do that. We keep thinking that we got the better answer, right? And God says, no, take my hand because I love you. Take my hand. Are you willing to do it? And ultimately, God shows us how incredibly generous He is towards us with His hand that is open towards us. I want you to read with me Psalm 145, 16 to 17. Ready? Go. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything He does. He is filled with kindness. And this is what the psalmist says. When God opens His hand, guess what He does? He more than just satisfied. You know, we know He provides, right? But man, His desire is to make His children just full of joy. Amen? And you know, it says the Lord is righteous in everything He does. He's filled with so much kindness. Don't ever think that God is a mean, long-bearded ogre that is trying to destroy us. Because I hear people telling me this. You know, God has lightning bolts in His hands, and He's ready to throw it at me because I'm such a bad person. And God, He is an angry, angry, angry old man. I said, no, don't believe it. I don't. Where did you get that idea? And you know, I gotta tell you, I know where they got that Tom and Jerry cartoon. You know, because I watched Tom and Jerry, you know, before, and Bugs Bunny. That's what they do. They make God look like a mean old, you know, grumpy old man, right? And God is nothing like. What does it say there? He is filled with what? Kindness. He's so kind to us. He loves us. And that's what we got to really get into our minds. Erase everything that you learned from the cartoons and Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and all that, right? Forget that. Look at what the Bible says. He's kind. He's loving. He's gentle. Amen? You know, I recently read about this Chinese soldier, right? And he's from China, right? And his name is Yin Yang Feng, okay? And he's stationed in Tibet, right? And his wife is a school teacher who lives in the mainland China. And so they only see each other only about once a year, okay? And so on a recent visit back home, he noticed that his wife is always so busy, right? So many things to do. And it seemed like she didn't have the time or the ability to make nourishing homemade meals for herself. So he took matters into his own hands. So you know what he does? Every time he comes home, right, he prepares a year's worth of homemade meals and treats. Oh, come on, women. You got to say, what a husband, right? And so you know what he does? He makes over 1,000 dumplings and over 30 to 40 gallons of soup, right? And plus various treats that are stored in the freezers. And some of the freezers are their friends and their neighbors and their families. Okay, and it's all for her. Okay, and he also has some special goodies that are hidden around the house, and he will tell her where they are when, you know, she feels a little down. Maybe they're on the phone, right, and she's feeling a little depressed, and he will say, okay, take a look at the cupboard on the right side of the kitchen behind the pot. There's something for you. And can you imagine? Wow, what a great guy he is, right? And so, you know, there was a reporter that kind of interviewed her, and she tells a reporter that was covering the story, you know, she says, I have to admit his food packages help keep me going, and it's great to know that he loves me. And in some way, every time I have my meal, I know that he is with me. Wow. And you know, and you have to kind of ask, Ben, why are you telling us this story? You know, well, as a husband, if you feel led to do this for your wife, hey, come on. I mean, make it special for her, right? Come on, do it, right? But, you know, I got to tell you, in reading this story, I can't help but to think how much our Father God loves us, right? With all the provisions that He has provided for us, right? I mean, He constantly is preparing blessings for you and for me. Just think about it. Just like how this guy preparing 1,000 dumplings. You like dumplings? Maybe God's going to give you 1,000,000 dumplings, right? If you can eat that much, right? But I'm just saying, you know, that's what God does, doesn't He? He loves to bless His children. And can you imagine all the blessings that He has already prepared for you and for me? And it may not have been released yet, but, you know, you keep on showing how much you love Him. Yeah, it's going to be just continually, constantly being released upon your life. And you know, I gotta tell you, there are even times, right, where I just know God has blessed me with, I call it special goodies, right? Just like how the husband, you know, hid these special goodies, right? And I know I don't deserve them at all. You know, maybe I've done something, you know, to make someone upset, or I've done something that I knew wasn't pleasing to God, and here comes a special goodie. And God's giving it to me because he's saying, Ben, I love you. Ben, turn your heart towards me. You know, I got to tell you, look for those special goodies. Because sometimes you're going to go to God and say, I don't deserve this, Lord. And God says, yeah, you do, because you're my kid. You're my child. I love you that much. You know, and when you hear that from the Holy Spirit, your heart is touched. And you realize, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to make it right with you. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who what? Who love him. You know, if you love God earnestly, sincerely, right? God is always preparing blessings. Dumplings, right? If you want to think of it. You know, just he's just preparing it for you and in advance. Because he knows your heart is fully surrendered to him. He's gonna keep preparing these blessings, and he's gonna keep on releasing it as you live a life that is true to him. I want you to look at point number 4 now. It says, read it with me, ready? Go. You would keep me from evil that I may not what? Cause pain. Wow, because here's the thing. When we do evil, yeah, we can be causing pain, not just to ourselves, right, but to the people also around us. Yeah, there are consequences to our sinful actions. We got to understand that. And you know, Jabez, he had to live with this title of one who what? Causes pain. You know, he's causing pain to people and to himself all his life. But he knew that only God could set him free from this terrible, terrible title, this terrible label, right? And you know, I remember I once talked to this young man, and he kept on telling me, you know, Pastor Ben, I really can't help that I'm doing so many bad things, so many evil things in my life. You know, the only thing I can explain is probably because I'm the black sheep of the family. And that's what he told me, right? Guess what? He was labeled this title, black sheep. You know, because everyone else is a white sheep, I'm the black sheep. And I just got to live a life of a black sheep. And so, you know, so he goes through life being the black sheep. So guess what? He's feel like he got to do bad. He has an excuse for doing bad. Because why? Because he's a black sheep, right? Yeah, labeled. He's labeled as this, right? And he believed it, and he accepted that, you know, he was what everyone said he was. And guess what? He was constantly hurting himself and the people around him. And in a way, right, he may have felt just like how Jabez felt. You know, feeling like he was almost like locked in, right, in this labeling box, right, that everyone says, you're this black sheep, you're no good, you're all this and you're all that. And he just says, okay, I am, right? He's probably thinking, okay, I'm the good-for-nothing one in the family. I only can give people grief because I'm the black sheep. Can you imagine going through life? And this is probably what Jabez had to go through. But you know what Jesus tells us? He tells us how we should pray when we are caught in a web of sin. Because sometimes, right, it seems like we're caught in these sinful deeds, right? And we just feel like, oh, man, there's no escape, right? And we just got to keep on doing bad. And sometimes because of the labeling, we just got to keep on doing it, right? But look what Matthew 6:13 says. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is what Jesus taught us and how we should pray, right? The Our Father, right? And you know, God, he gives us a hope for a new life if we choose to follow his lead in getting ourselves out of the traps of temptation in which the devil has cleverly place in our lives, because the devil put them all there. Just, if you can see into the spiritual realm, I'm sure, if God allowed that, you're going to realize the devil has set multiple traps all over the place. He's wanting you to walk in this trap, so you're going to get ensnared and you're going to get pulled down so that you will not continue this walk with the Lord. The traps are everywhere. We got to understand. And we cannot allow ourselves to be, you know, ensnared in these traps, because sometimes if we're careless, right, if we get to the point where we're always just doing things that we know aren't pleasing to God, we're going to get constantly ensnared. And we got to know that when we choose to follow God's lead, you know, the tight grip that Satan had on our souls is going to be broken. Because, you know, when you come with a heart that is convicted, a heart that is repentive, you know, those chains are broken. Yeah, those chains may have been around your arm, your legs, upon your entire body, right? The devil pulled you wherever he wanted you to go, wherever he wanted you to go, right? But, you know, those works of the devil are crushed when you choose to say, Lord, not my way, not the world's way, but your way. You know, you're going to see that these negative labels that we once had, they're going to be nulled. They're going to be voided out as we repent of our sins, as we turn our hearts fully over to Christ. No matter what label you had, you know, growing up, you know, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, you know what? All these labels are broken in the name of Jesus Christ. When you stand under the foot of the cross, you look up to Jesus where you say, Lord, I believe you did this for me. You suffered and you died for my sins. And I place my faith entirely upon you. These labels are no more. Don't hold on to these labels anymore. Because look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. So you're totally brand new. As these labels come off, right? You're giving it to the Lord. Guess what? You're a brand new person. And you move with this new person that you are. And don't allow the devil to have his way in your life anymore. You know, to be honest with you, you know, I had many negative labels growing up. They were given to me by a lot of my peers and some of my family. And, you know, but, you know, I got to tell you, so many labels have been put upon me. And I realized some of them I really believed, right? Labels such as, oh, Ben, he's a super shy one, you know. Or Ben, he's the clumsy one. He's the nervous one, right? You know, he's the skinny kid with no confidence in himself, right? Or he's the kid, no more common sense, right? And you hear these things and you kind of go, well, it sounds a little funny at times, but I got to be honest, there are times I really got hurt, you know? And but as time went on, right, I realized these labels had held me back from becoming the person that God wanted me to be. Because, you know, on several occasions, I got to tell you, I remember early on in my Christian walk, right, with the Lord, I was asked by pastors and leaders of different churches if I could lead, like, you know, small groups and even adult and children Sunday school classes, right? My answer to them was always the same. Oh, but I'm really shy. You know, I'm a terrible speaker. I cannot do that. I mean, I kept on saying, I don't know how many people were asking, Ben, you got to step up. I think you'd be an excellent, you know, Bible study teacher and all this. I said, no, I cannot. All my life, people said, I cannot. How can I? Right? And not until I remember some church leaders, I mean, some brothers that, you know, came alongside me and said, Ben, you can do it. We're praying for you. You have to take this step of faith. And try it. Just go with God. And, you know, reluctantly, I did. I didn't want to. I kept giving 1,001 excuses why I cannot. Until I said, Lord, you want me to do it? I'll do it. And, you know, I had to shake up all of these negative comments that had haunted me all those years, right? It plagued my mind, all these negative labels. And I realized when I had to make a decision, okay, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to do it for you, Lord. And it was very uncomfortable at first, but the more I trusted in God, I realized the easier it got. Because I realized it's not me anymore. It's God in me that is bringing forth what he desires for my life. Amen? And that's what we have to do. We got to say, Lord, not me, but you. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. You know, perhaps, right, Jabez, he got to the point in which he said to himself, you know what? Enough is enough, right? I don't want to be a pain anymore, right? You ever got to that point where you said, enough, I don't want to live like this anymore, enough. I don't want everyone to think that I'm a loser or I'm a troublemaker or whatever, right? Sometimes we get to that point where we say, enough is enough. So what did he do? He cried out to God, and it totally got God's attention. Because it tells us, right, God granted what he requested. Because he had the heart to say, Lord, I want to change. Lord, I don't want to stay like this anymore. Help me, Lord. You can almost sense the cry of desperation from Jabez, right? And I believe what God saw in Jabez's heart as he prayed the prayer was totally reflective of the psalmist's words in Psalm 1. I want you to read that with me in Psalm 1, 1 to 2. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. I can just only imagine God looking into Jabez's heart and seeing this inscripted on his heart, realizing the only way I'm going to break through this, that I will not be a pain to myself or anyone, I got to do it God's way. I got to live according to the word of God. I got to meditate on the word of God every day in my life so that I become the word of God. That is what it takes for you to experience the fullness of God's power and blessings in your life. And when we choose the ways of God, I'm going to tell you, it seems that everything will properly fall into place. And guess what? When everything starts to fall properly into place, because your life may be in shambles, your life may be a total mess right now, but as you choose to do it God's way, guess what? God will just make everything fall into its proper place. And suddenly, when that happens, right, now, okay, here comes the blessings. Oh, just an increase of more of his blessings each and every day as you live a life that is surrendered and submitted to him. I want you to look at this last verse here in John 8, 36. Read that with me. Ready? Go. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be what? Free. Oh, there's that word again. Indeed. When did we hear that word earlier? Oh, Lord, bless me indeed. Right? I mean, bless me with great certainty, with just the fullness of what you desire. Well, guess what? If you know the Son has set you free, right? The label is gone, right? You'll be free indeed. That means these labels don't have to go back on you anymore because you're free indeed. That means a guarantee. These labels don't have to set back on your life again, ever again, because Son has set you free. Jesus has set you free. These chains are no longer going to bind you anymore. Because you are property of Jesus Christ. You belong to him. Amen? And that's what we got to realize, that whatever you've done in your past, what the past is the past. Don't hold on to the past. Don't let these labels come back on you anymore. Because imagine if all these labels that I mentioned to you came back on me. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be able to stand up here anymore. You're not going to see me next week. I'm going to probably bury my head in the ground. And say, oh, no, I cannot. I'm too shy. I don't have power. I don't have nothing. I don't have the intelligence. I got nothing. We got to stop allowing the devil to play with our minds. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit speak powerfully into your life. And move as the Holy Spirit moves you. Amen. And here comes the challenge. On the bottom, I want you to put in the blank, give all your what? Your labels to God. Whatever labels, you know, your parents, your family, whoever it is, right? They may have placed labels on you. Hey, hand them over to God. and say, Lord, I don't want them anymore because I only want what you have for me. All these negative labels have to go. Amen. And let what God has spoken as truth about who you are be the very thing that will drive you to do greater and mightier things for him. Amen. So here's the challenge. Can you just right now just think about one or two labels? One or two labels, that's all. Just think about what your parents may have said, your friends may, look at you, you stinky or whatever, right? Whatever it may be. And you just kind of allow that to kind of settle in your mind. Oh, yeah, maybe, I mean, I'm stinky all the time, right? Well, whatever, I'm just giving an example, right? Whatever it is, can you just think of a label, okay, that your friend or family may have said to you, and you just held on to it. And sometimes you don't even realize it. You may say, oh, but I'm so shy. I can never do that. Right? I want you to take a moment right now. This is the challenge. Can you just think of that? Just for just several seconds. Just think of a label or two, right, that had been said to you and you held on to it all these years. Okay, take about 20 seconds. Just think of that. Think of it. Okay, you got the label? All right, you got it in your mind? All right. I want you to just put your hands in front of you right now. And as you bow your head, I want you to just let that label just slip from your mind right now and right into your hands. Can you just do that? Just bow your head and just let that label, you know, it's been gripping your mind all these years. Just let it just fall off. Right from your mind, right into your hands. All right, I want you to just lift your hands up to God right now. Just lift your hands up like that. And say, Father God, I give this label to you. This negative label that's been holding on to me all these years. And Father God, I surrender it to you. And Father, I ask you, Lord, just to cleanse me. And just let my mind be the very mind of Christ. And let's put our hands down for a second here. Right now, if you know that it's been released to God, whatever God has called you to do, you're going to say, Lord, I can and I will do what you ask of me. Because it could have been the very fact that you haven't progressed where God wants you to be because all these years you've been holding on to that label. Remember, you have given it over to God. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts right now. Father God, as we have surrendered whatever labels, negative labels that have been written upon our minds and our hearts, Father, as we have given over to you, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, as my brothers and sisters have experienced the freedom, Lord, that they now have because they have been set free from this label. Father, I pray, Lord, you're going to take them far, Lord. Whatever you call them to do, they will have no fear. They will totally trust in you, and they're going to see, Lord, that it is not their own ability. It is not their own skill. It is not their own gifting that will get them where you want them to be. It is you, Lord. It is your power that will be displayed as you will see to it that you're going to get them to where you want them to be. Father, I pray, Lord, that the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of worry will be no more in their lives. Because, Father, they will know that you are with them, that you will never leave them, you will never forsake them. Father, I pray, Lord, you will give them your strength. And they will see, Father, just the miracles that will take place as they completely and totally trust in you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. I pray, Lord, that we're just going to have a new desire in our hearts just to give of our very best to you at all times. Father God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen.